Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices, we live and learn. Now I'm standing at a crossroad, and I must choose which way to turn. Down the one road lies all the world could offer, all its power, its wealth and fame. Down the other, just a man with nail scars in his hands, but there is mercy in his eyes, and there is power in his name. I choose Jesus, I choose Jesus, without a solitary doubt. I choose Jesus, not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. All my life I have sailed the sea of reason. I was captain of my soul. There was no need for a savior, could live life on my own. Then I heard him speak the language of compassion, words of healing for broken lives. When they nailed him to the tree, his love included me. Calling me to follow and to leave the past behind. I choose Jesus, I choose Jesus, without a solitary doubt. I choose Jesus, not for miracles, but for love. But for eternity, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus.
All right, thank you for that, Brother Gray. Why don't you come up? Honored to have him. He's been coming to our youth conference for years now, and when I heard he was coming, it's like, great, we'll have him preach for us. And so we're honored to have him. Let's give Brother Gray a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Brother Myers, thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you. I am excited about being here, and if I could get help with Brother Vaught, if you guys can do that for me, that would be awesome. And by the way, I have my AirDrop on. And so for those of you, I did not know I could do this. For those of you who want to turn your AirDrop on for like 30 seconds, I'm going to send you a picture. So turn your AirDrop on, because you're going to get the picture that I want you to make the screensaver for when you feel about turning on your phone. Are you ready? Are you in? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. It's coming your way. Ashlyn, I see you. And I see Courtney, and I see the retards. Okay, and am I reading that? Oh, TARDIS, I'm sorry. where are there? I see something, and okay. Okay, people, stop it. Stop it. No, I don't want any pictures back. Okay, do not send me. Okay, I'm done. I am not accepting your pictures. So, I'm going to turn that on airplane mode because I'm not quite sure who will send what back. And hey, thanks for coming. And I will tell you that Miss Karina, did I get that right? Is that who just sang? Yeah. Right? And as always, the very first time I heard her at youth conference, I was like, oh, my goodness. And for those of us that are not part of Long Beach, thank you very much, church, for who you are and for keeping Southern California straight. I'm choosing my words wisely. But we just want to thank you and Pacific. I just want to thank you. I have been excited about our ball team being able to come because of the fact that you are my friends. And the first time I started speaking here about 15, 16 years ago, I get this call from Brother Esposito, and he goes, Brother Gray, you don't know me, but I know your father, and would you be willing to come preach a youth conference? And so I said, sure. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, what is an Esposito? And he said, they are two ex-gang members from the south side of Chicago. So I thought, seriously? He goes, no. Joe's normal. Johnny's off. And so that's how he described them. And it was like, and they are the dynamic duo. And Brother Joe is the calm one. So he will put out the fire with sand and not think twice. Brother Johnny will analyze, why did the fire happen? Where did the sand come from? And how much will it take to put it out? Am I right? He'll do all the research and then he'll put together a PowerPoint to put it together. And so I'm sitting here laughing. And I was like, sure. My very first exposure is I'm sitting right up here. And pastor sitting right there, and something happens at that youth conference that he leans over to me and he says this, Brother Gray, I'm sorry, but I will discuss that with them after you leave. And then he turned right back, and I'm like, oh, somebody's in trouble. But thank you very much. I am excited that my church family gets to meet my extended spiritual family out here. And then for Riverview to be here, don't even go there. And then Brother Lamont, it's good to see you. And of course, not your son, but it's good to see the rest of you. But I'm glad that the teenagers that from the church get to make new friends with all the other churches. And when you win the championship, you can thank Longview. We were your stepping stone to get there. So personally, I think it was the ref. That's what I think. I think the ref is deaf and blind and dumb, and I think he needs to interpret it just the way I said it. And so, you know, the bad part about this is I have no idea what he's saying. You better help me out, teenagers. You better, okay. All right. You know, I told this one year when I was here, but the kids are taking sign language in school, so it is their whole thing this year, taking sign language, so they are very much intrigued by what he's doing. If he does not interpret this right, y'all raise your hand, and I'll stop and start back over. But if you can lead them to the Lord in sign language, that would be wonderful. But I was telling, I think I told it years ago here, but we have a deaf department, and so I was being cute once Sunday, and I went love, peace, tranquility. Yeah. That's not love. That's loser. And that you know, that's not peace. It's V for victory. That is not tranquility. That is toilet. That's what that is. And so, well, the deaf give you your own sign. You know, so like if you're bald. Okay, so that's what you do. If you're ugly, what was that? No, ugly. What was the sign for ugly? Like your mustache? Okay, and if if So if you're ugly, that's what it is. So I have my own sign with some of the deaf people. And the other day I was in Super One coming around the corner, and we have a deaf lady named Tangina, and she's a short black lady. And so she was coming around the corner, and she just went, well, I finally figured it out, and I just pointed down the hallway, and I said, it's right down there. And but hey, thanks for being. How many are tired? Okay. How many are perfect? I mean, you are perfect. Okay, all right. How many have a drama queen sitting on the row with you right now? Okay, do you have one? Okay, all right. How many are willing to admit you are the drama queen? You're it. Okay, all right, okay. How many have a drama queen for a chaperone? No, that's not wise. Don't turn around and look at anybody right now. That's not wise. Hey, I'm just waiting for Longview. Which one did you point to? Me, David? Thank you. You're not going home. So somebody's not getting home. But Brother Griffin, are you really playing ball tomorrow? Hey, you know that wheelchair we had? We're going to get that out. We're going to play wheelchair basketball. Now, they say we're supposed to be done at 8:30. But if y'all are spiritual enough just to study the text that I give you, then we can call it quits in 30 seconds. Right? All head down to Starbucks or Jamba Juice. Right? Is there Dunkin' Donuts out here? How many are Dunkin' Donuts people? Raise your hand. How many Dunkin' Donuts people? Okay. How many Dunkin' Donuts, right? How many are Starbucks, all right? How many do not like coffee? Are you serious? Brother Moore, I didn't know that. You don't drink coffee? Miss Shauna? Who else does not drink coffee? Oh, you need to get saved right down here. Amen? So Luke chapter 15. Brother Myers, thank you very much for allowing me to speak. And to the patio people, it's good to see you tonight. The patio, wave back at me, patio people. And yes. Every time I come, it's in July, and so it's a little bit warm. And so I'm sitting here going, it feels great in this auditorium right now. Amen on that one. So patio people, stay awake, or I may come climbing through that window back there. But anyway, teenagers, I have to tell you this, you're ugly. No. I've enjoyed interacting with you. Thank you for just being good old-fashioned teenagers that have a sense of humor. I've only met one grouchy teenager. No, seriously. I've only met one. And then I found out the reason that they were grouchy was I was standing on their foot while I was talking to them. And then I realized that's not kosher. Amen? So anyways, Luke chapter 15. And we're going to pray. And then we're going to get started. My truth I want to give you tonight, and I totally recognize that this is a midweek service for this dear church. And before we go any further, can all the players give Pastor and the church and Brother Vaught, is it Vaught or Vaught? Vaught? Is it Vaught? All right. How many think it's Vaught? Raise your hand. Okay, like a vat. How many think it's Vaught? Is that the sophisticated way of saying he's the guy in charge, right, of the tournament? So, but I want to thank him and Pastor. Can we give this church and them a hand, if you don't mind, and thank them for putting this on? So thank you very, very, very much. And I want to give you a truth tonight. And I do recognize that this is a combination of a midweek service, and that many of the church members have rushed in from work, as any church does during the midweek service. So church members, I want to thank you for your faithful support of this church. I also recognize that there's young people here tonight, and that you have your whole future ahead of you. Regardless if you're old, and old is anybody older than 51. I keep moving that age up, amen? You're old. You need a wheelchair, you need a handicap placard, and you need it all. You got it? Okay, all right. And But it, regardless if you're young or if you're old tonight, I do think it's a timeless truth because we're going to read it from a timeless book. This book was settled in heaven long before you and I ever began this race. Long before Adam ever began, God is not evolving as we go, so he is not like you. He didn't cram for your life. He didn't look at your life and go, oh my goodness, I got to write a book. No. This book was settled in heaven before the human race ever began, which means this. Our God looked down through the ages and said this, I'm going to put a book together so that every teenager and every Christian can have a manual of how to live life. We right now are studying in the adult department the words in red. And we're taking every place. All the words are God's word. But in some Bibles they have how Jesus spoke those words in red. And so we're going through every one of those sayings. And it is a phenomenal series. I started out by telling the church this. If you take the average amount of words that a woman speaks and a man speaks, they say a woman averages 20,000 words a day, where man only averages 7,000, 8,000 words a day. Now, that's not my stat. That's somebody else's stat. Praise God, I agree with it. But if you were to take that over 3.5 years, then what you and I would normally speak, and you compare that stat, if you bring it into what Jesus spoke, recorded in his words, all of it is his words, but the words he spoke while walking this earth, the words in red only occupy less than 1% of what the average man would speak in those 3 years, which means this, that everything God put in his book, he handpicked for you and I. If he did put everything in the book, y'all, the Bible says the world could not even contain the things that Jesus said and did. So what he did was he looked down through human history and he simply said this, what story in human history would I need to pull out and archive in a holy book so that my people can glean strength from these stories? We only are going to be here for such a short time. And although this is a temporal time, I wanted to have an eternal benefit in your life. Teenagers, adults, you are going to come to a place in your life to where truth like this, hopefully, will come ringing back in your spiritual ears to where you'll go, you know, one night we were in Long Beach, and I don't know who that guy was, but he spoke to us out of this passage. Now, Luke 15 is the background for where I'm going. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at this and we truly glean from your word, Lord, I want to be changed. I was able to disappear for about an hour this afternoon and waiting on the guys to get ready. And Lord, I was thinking about the text tonight. I was thinking about the sermon tonight. And I want to thank you at the outset, God, for loving us, for looking down at our lives and our humanity and overlooking and desiring a relationship with us. There are 100 other things I believe I could speak on, but Lord, we have one shot tonight. I have one shot to show you, dear God, in your truest form. And Lord, I pray that you would watch over all of us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 15, 11. It's a very familiar passage. It says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered, Luke 15, 13, all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, Luke 15:20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is live again, and was lost and is found. Several years ago, I was consumed with a thought out of the Old Testament, which I'm going to take you there in just a moment. My thought about what was going on in the Old Testament text, I thought to myself, man, I wish there was a story in the New Testament that mirrored the truth of the Old Testament. And teenagers, I know you're tired, and I know you're struggling, to some of you, to pay attention. And I mean this sincerely. If somebody next to you is having a tough time, just let them rest, let them sleep, and we'll just let the Lord do what he's going to do. How about that? Would that be okay? So we find here then that I thought, I mean, there's got to be this story. And the next day, my regular Bible reading was in Luke chapter 15. I came across this story, and I thought to myself, that's it. We know the shameful story of the younger son that demanded his inheritance prematurely and began a downward trek. It did not go well for the prodigal son, like it never goes well for anybody who demands in life something they have not earned yet and decides that you give it to me now. Listen to this. There is no quick trip to success. It is paved with the stone of hard work. And teenagers, listen to this. Do not think that you can sprint your way through life and get ahead. Nobody gets ahead of the system. The system always requires diligence, hard work, and keep at it, and never look for the shortcut. I'm not going to belabor the story here of the spiritual downward trek, because that's not really the focus of tonight. However, there was a question in my study Bible that I wrote out beside Luke 15, and I wrote this out beside. Why did it take so long for the younger son to return? If he was on this downward trek, why did it take so long? Why did he have to go into the far country? Why did he have to waste all his substance in riotous living? Why did he have to end up with bad women? Why did he have to end up being satisfied with this, looking at the husk and saying, you know, I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Why did it take so long? The spiritual truth for tonight was birthed in my heart through God's word, through these verses. Are you ready? Take your Bibles and let's go on a journey. Go to Psalms chapter 4 and verse number 2. I did not realize that as I was studying the Old Testament, I was intrigued by a couple of words, and all of a sudden it turned into a Bible study. I want you to look at it, and it's the two words in Psalms 42. Now, Luke 15 is where I ended up for the point of reference for the New Testament. Why don't you look at it, young people, because I'm going to have you read the two words out loud together. Are you there? Psalms chapter 4 and verse 2. Are you ready? If you're there, say, Umgawa. Good deal. Psalms 4 and verse 2. Is that what I said the first time? 4 verse 2. Is that what, how many heard 4 verse 2? How many heard chapter 42? You heard both? That's pretty good. Man, I wish I had that kind of hearing. My wife could talk to me on this side and on this side, and I'd be like, hey, I heard it. I heard, never mind. So how old are you, sir? No. You? Yes, sir. 17. Would you please stand up and show them what they're going to look like at 17? Stand up. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. That's what you're going to look like at 17 years of age. Hey, I looked down at him, this old 17-year-old, and all he did was went, Umgawa. And so, Umgawa to you. And so, you know what that means, don't you? In Swahili, it means your neighbor's ugly. And, sir? Tarzan said that? You know, they teach us in homiletics never to carry on a conversation with somebody in the audience. Last time I did that, it did not go well. Thank you for being good. And so, Psalms chapter 4, verse dos. Oh, I just got the tongues. Sorry about that. Okay, verse number 2. Are you ready? O ye sons of men. Are you there? Comma. First two words after that, please. How? Say those two words again. How long? How long will ye turn my glory into shame? When I saw the two words, how long, I was intrigued by that because it implies, how long are you going to live this way? How long are you going to continue to turn my glory into something shameful? Look at the very next two words. Are you ready after the question mark? What is it? How long? Then it says, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? In essence, what it's saying is, how long are you going to chase things that don't amount to anything? How long are you going to lease life only to turn it back in at the end of 3 years and have nothing to show for yourself? So the scripture then kind of pulled me into the text, and I thought, how long? Underline those two words. Then it was, how long? How long will you turn my glory into a shame? How long will you love things that you can't own after you've been involved with them? Go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, if you will. Proverbs chapter 1 in verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Are you ready? We're going to read the first two words here. Are you ready? Begin. Ready? How long? So then I get to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, and I thought, how long? How long what? Ye simple ones, will ye love what? Simplicity. Listen to this, teenager and patio people. Simplicity is this. It is something that has not yet been written on or something that has not taken form. Like, for instance, see that piece of paper right there? That piece of paper is no longer simple. Here's why. Because if somebody said, we're going to take a white piece of paper and we're going to put print on it and we're going to make it a color, and this piece of paper is no longer simple. It's already been defined by what is written on it, and it's already been defined because somebody said, we are going to fold this in three different layers. Listen to this. What Solomon is saying is, how long are you going to be okay with nothing definite in your life, and how long are you going to be okay with no definite form? Let me pause and just say this. Teenager, stop waiting for God to prove himself. He's already proved himself when he died on Calvary, and he already proved himself when he gave you a book. Don't be like the average teenager waiting for how life is going to figure out and what's going to happen. No, you write it down on your life. This is who I am. This is what I believe. This is what I'm all about. And then put some form to your life. Put a crease in your life and become now what you will want to be somewhere down the road. So the word, how long? I said, how long? Then all of a sudden I came across these things. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? How long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, if you look at it grammatically, in verse 22, how long also applies to the scorner. Look at it. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long the scorners delight in their scorning? You know what scorning means? Scorning means you're always making mouths. You're always trying to mimic. It's like me when I come across Spanish people. I am trying to learn Spanish, but it doesn't come out right, y'all. You know, sometimes, you know, when I was younger trying to learn Spanish, I was like, I'm going to get this thing down. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, a Diablo in a cortisone, and he takes you to Infierno. And it was like, I'm getting this thing all mixed up. And so, you know, like, for instance, I did not know that all Spanish people were not Mexicans. No, this is the truth. Until about 10 years ago, I stood up in a Spanish conference and says, good to be here with all my Mexican friends. Oh, y'all, at that point, the Salvadorians put their hands on their hip, the Puerto Ricans went like this, and I'm like, oh, and the Argentinians went like this, and the Mexicans went like this, I get your wallet, and so all of a sudden, I have offended all of the Spanish world. It is true, isn't it? Not all Spanish people are Mexicans. And then when you ask them, who's the higher class of the Spanish world? Oh, then Puerto Ricans are like right up there at the top saying, we're it. So how long, you fools, are you going to hate knowledge? Now go to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 14. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14. So the word, two words, how long? How long? How long? Jeremiah 4:14. If you can't find it, just stare. Just stop where you're at and stare, because it's going to get worse from here. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. Here it is. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge with thee? Now go to Jeremiah 31, verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 30, don't look at the clock. Is that what he said? Okay, all right. Jeremiah 31, 22. Here it is. You ready? Jeremiah 31, 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou, what, please, are you there? Backsliding what? Daughter. You know what he was saying to the children of Israel? In fact, when you get to Isaiah, from Isaiah to Malachi, watch this, young people, it is just a downward trek of apostasy. These people were using God. They really didn't love God. And God comes to them through Jeremiah, and he says to them, how long are you going to continue this backsliding? How long are you going to keep going down in life? And then go to Jeremiah chapter 47 in verse number 5. Jeremiah 47 in verse number 5. Baldness has come upon Gaza. You know what's really funny about that? Is that we have a family in our church named Gaza, and they're here right now. Emily, I'm sorry, but you must be bald. And baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. Look at this. How long wilt thou cut thyself? Do you know what God is saying through the prophet? He said, how long are you going to keep doing injury to yourself? It's not fun when you do it. How long are you going to keep cutting yourself? How long are you going to keep taking that knife and cutting your wrist and cutting your body? And how long are you going to do this? You don't even like it. You don't even like yourself. And then you have to cover it up because how long? And then you go to Hosea chapter 8 in verse number 5. I'll give you 10 years to find that one. Hosea chapter 8 in verse number 5. And by the way, I'm sorry for making you use your Bible. You know, it's church, and I hate to do that to you. How many have thumb tabs? You have thumb tabs? Cheater. And so, Hosea chapter 8, verse number 5. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere or before they attain to what? Innocency. When I came to this, I thought to myself, why? How long? How long are people going to continue to live a life that is empty? How long are people going to continue to live a life that has no form and it has no meaning and they just exist and they do stupid stuff and they go back and do it again? How long? And God was asking the people, how long before you go back to being innocent? How long before you stop cutting yourself? How long? How many times are you going to do this and live this life? How long? And the crazy thing about this is that right after I was studying this, I was having a conversation with my mother. And my mom, her and I got to talking, and I said, Mom, Tell me about the weirdest Catholic doctrine that to you, my mom was raised Catholic, the weirdest Catholic doctrine to you, and here's where we're going to get into the sermon. The weirdest Catholic doctrine that as a saved person to you ranks in the top three of a total lie. And my mom's been saved since she's been 18 years of age. She's now 73. And I probably should not have said her age out loud. She's 73. She said, Bob, when I found out Mary was only a virgin for Jesus to be born, and then she had other children, that shattered my world. Bob, but right on the heels of that was the doctrine called penance. Young people, the Catholic Church teaches that if you do wrong, that you have to go to confessional, and that when you're in confessional, you say this, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And then to some degree, the Catholic priest will look through this little sliding thing that's veiled, and he'll basically ask you, what did you do wrong? And you'll say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned, for I have, and then you'll tell all your sins. The Father on the other end then will go, and by the way, it's always funny, someone you call Father that's had no children that but wears a dress like a mother, I don't understand that. Do not get that one. And this doctrine of penance for the Catholic people teaches, and here's the sermon, that in order to get back into the good graces of God, you have to do feats. And you have to do things. And that there is a holy God waiting on you to do something to get back in his good graces. My mom listed for me, and I wrote them down on a napkin, and I transferred them to my sermon notes. The penance would be this, traditional Our Fathers, Hail Marys, the Stations of the Cross, two or three rosaries, reading certain psalms or other scripture text. Many of the penance came back later, that many of the people came back later only to have violated what the priest said. And then the priest could add more penance on. They would be given an instruction to complete something, and then they would leave it alone. When I researched this, my mother said this, Bob, it was very frustrating as a Catholic to know you had done wrong and to know that your God, your Creator, would not love me unless I did some act. She said, Bob, as a little girl, I can remember one time that I would go to this confessional. I would go in, and Bob, I was sixth grade, and I had stolen something from your grandmother, and I knew that I had done wrong, and I knew I was going to go see the priest, and so I went in there, and I would go into the confessional. The priest would open it and said, yes, my child, and she says, a sixth grader, I said, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. She said, the priest said, what have you done, my child? And she said, I stole something from my mother. And he said, my child, you must take your rosary beads and you must count them. And he gave how many rosary beads she had to count. She said, I went out there and ran home as fast as I could, and I ran to my room and I took the rosary beads and I just started counting. And she said, Bob, I thought to myself, I hope this is good enough for God to love me again. I am afraid that the doctrine of penance, although it's not preached, I think in the mind of Christians that they truly believe I have fallen out of favor with God because of my actions, and that I'll never get back to favor with God. Teenagers, you listen to me, because the adults know exactly what I'm speaking of right now. The longer you live, the more junk you're going to get into. The longer you live, the more opportunity to fall you're going to have. The longer you live, how long will you live in a fallen state? And how long before you realize a God in heaven is not asking you to crawl through broken glass? And a God in heaven is not asking you to do some great feat? And a God in heaven is not asking you to do the stations of the cross? And the God in heaven is not asking you to do the sign of the cross or do beads? And I wonder how many teenagers that they mess up what they think is the biggest mistake they could ever make, and your God is in heaven saying this: how long are you going to live that way? And how long before you get back to being innocent? How long before you stop cutting yourself? How long before you stop doing this over and over and over again? And there is a God that is waiting in heaven, and I give you good news tonight. Our God is not a Catholic God, and our God is not a God that requires you to climb a mountain, go somewhere, and sit down and do something in the flesh to get him to love you. The shorter the distance between the sin and the Savior makes all the difference in the world in your value. If you blow it at 15, but you live in a state of like Adam and Eve, and you're hiding from God, and you don't come out till you're 21, there's been all these years for your value to go down. So when I read this, and here we're going to get to the sermon, when I read this and it said, how long? I thought to myself, how long? But ladies and gentlemen, when I went back to my regular reading Bible study, and I was in the book of, and if you'll go back there, I was in the book of Psalms, and just kind of remember, I was in Psalms, and how long? So I looked at how long throughout the Old Testament. Then I went back. This was still heavy on my heart. What is the answer? What is the answer to somebody when God says, how long? Then, if you will, I got to Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 18. Would you go there? Because you will enjoy this text. I got to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Remember, God is asking people, he's asking his children, how long are you going to be vain? How long are you going to live a simple life with nothing in your life? Please. And by the way, if you don't get it figured out, teenager, by the time you turn the tassel, like I talked to you the other morning, you're going to spend years wandering. Get it figured out. Your God's way is the right way. The way the preacher's telling you is the right way. But then he comes to Isaiah 1:18. Look at this. Read the first two words, Isaiah 1:18. Ready? Come now. So the question is asked, how long? The echo from heaven says this: come now. Come now, not later. Prodigal, stop. Turn around. Come now. Come now before you hurt your father and mother anymore. Come now before you cross the next mile marker on the highway to the far country. Come now before you attend one more riotous party. Come now before the mighty famine hits you. Come now before you waste one more dollar. Come now before you're homeless and have to seek refuge among the heathen. Come now before your meal becomes the husk. Come now before you reduce your relationship with your father to that of a hired hand. And how many Christians that are listening to me right now have spent too much time in the far country only to someday come home? Did you hear that? You will come home. If you're just marking time till you graduate, you say, I want to get out on my own. I want to go live the party world. Listen to this. If you're a child of God, it will be a downward trek. And then one day, you absolutely will say to yourself, I just want to go home. But God comes to you right now, and he says, come now. Come now. Don't wait till you waste all your money. Come now. Don't wait till you have no more good days. Come now. Don't waste any more money. Don't waste any more virginity. Don't waste any more purity. Don't waste any more brain cells. Come now. Come now. And when you deal with people that come home, they always say three things to me. I wish I would have returned much sooner. I have never in 31 years seen somebody go to the far country. And I have never seen somebody come back to God that they did not say this to me. I wish I would have returned sooner. The second thing they said was this. Listen to this. Returning was easier than I thought. How long are you going to cut yourself? How long are you going to live out there? And when you do finally decide to go home, listen to this. You will say, I wish I would have come sooner. And then you're going to say, that was easier than I thought it would be. And then the third thing they always tell me is this. The reception was greater and better than I thought it would be. You see, when you're out here and you have lived a life and you say, I want to go home, you will come to yourself one day. And then you'll say this. I wish I would have done that earlier. I didn't realize it was that easy to come home. Now, I'm headed somewhere. I'm coming to the close of the message, so listen up. And I didn't realize people would love me like they did. So, the message that needs to start being preached is this. After you take your first step to the far country, let it be your last step. The psalmist says, how long? The father of Proverbs says, how long? Jeremiah asked, how long? Hosea asked, how long? I want to illustrate this tonight if I could. Because are you there in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18? Are you there? What are the very first two words in Isaiah, please? Come now. I think we have a bad view of God. I'm going to play God, if you will. I can't think of anybody better to play God. And Brother Joseph, your hands are full, aren't they? Your hands are full. I need Jordan. Come on, my friend, my son, you get to come help me. Come on. You're not getting free nachos, that's for sure. We have this unrealistic view of God. In Luke chapter 15, can anybody tell me what the three things that were lost in Luke 15? There was the lost sheep. There was the lost coin, and there was the lost son. Each of those gives us an insight to the heart of God. The lost son gives us the insight to where the father is patiently waiting for you to do what you got to do. And then you come on home. Do you hear that? Patiently. That's the one nature of God. The second nature of God is found in the lost coin. No matter how lost you are, God says this, the family's not complete until you get back. Then you have the lost what, please? Sheep. The father stayed home. The lady swept the house to find the coin. But we have this unrealistic of God, and I promise you that I have 17 minutes on the clock, and I think this verse will become very insightful. We think this way. This is the relationship that we want with God. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. This is what Adam and Eve, that's what they did in the garden. But then all of a sudden you do an action that breaks this relationship. And so you break and just go to the middle of the platform. So you break the relationship. Hold it. This is what we think God does. Hey, if you were the real deal, I'm not going anywhere. You better get back here. And we think it now is a tug of war. But the very first illustration he used in Luke 15 was what? The lost what, please? And what did our God do with the 90 and 9? He did what? He left them. And what did he do? He went after. You see, no matter how far you've gone, your God is like this. What's the first two words in Isaiah 1:18? Come now and then let us what? Wherever you go, your God is always chasing you to say this. Not yet. Can we talk now? Can we talk before you go any further? Act like your mother. Okay. How many conferences have you been to where you've been living in this hardness and you think it's a tug of war between you and every youth speaker out there? God said, come now. And whether you like it or not, your God is going to chase you to hell and back because he wants to reason about where you are at. Keep going away from me. And when he says, can we talk now? Can we talk? Do you remember what it was like? Come on. Can we talk now? And you think, oh, no. I'm going to get away from God, and I'm going to make my home in the stars. You know what the Bible says? You ain't getting away from your God. You know what he's always doing to you? He's chasing you, and he's saying, come now. Come now. Can we just talk? Can we just talk? No, please don't go any further. Come now. Can we talk? And the more you rebel, just keep going someplace. And the more you rebel, you don't understand that your God is chasing you. And your God has already, keep going. And your God's going, would you stop long enough for us to talk? And would you just stop long enough? Do you remember what it was like? Can we talk? We used to be friends. We used to be friends. You used to be so sweet and so kind. Now you're getting hard. Can we just talk? Can you stop? Can we talk? Listen to this. You think you're going to get away from your God when you leave your house. That's not true. Because your God is going to chase you and chase you and chase you. And teenager, it doesn't matter what you do, how you feel, your God's always going, can we talk now? How long are you going to be this way? Can we just talk? Would you please read the verse together out loud? You ready? I'll start it. And at this point, I would quote it, but I don't want to put anybody to shame. I don't know it except the first two words. Ready? Begin. Come now. So if I do sit down, what are we going to talk about? What'd the verse say? Come now and let us what, please? Reason together. Next phrase, please. Though your what? Sins be as? Stop right there. You say, what are we going to talk about? Well, let's put it this way. According to that verse right there, you won't talk about the past. You'll talk about the solution for the future. You've got to know this about your God. Your God was there when you took your downward trek, and your God was there when you started doing the junk that you'd done. How long? How long do you want to live this way? And I'm talking to teenagers all over this building and maybe even some older people that you've lived decades with failure. And you truly think, I'll never get back in the good graces of God. That's not true. Come now, let us reason together. Though your what, please? Sins be as? Stop right there. You can do the research like I did, and the scarlet color. The scarlet color came from an insect there in the Mediterranean. And they would take this insect, and when they squashed it and they mangled it, it would ooze out this scarlet color. They would take that scarlet color, and then they would put it in dye. And then they would take this white when they wanted to get a scarlet color. And so when God used this in Isaiah, everybody knew what they were talking about. That's how you dyed it. They put it in there. But it just wasn't dipped once. It was dipped over and over and over again to make sure the dye would not come out. And no matter what they did, once it was dipped over and over again in this scarlet bug juice, it was not coming clean. So when God said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as what? And I hear people all the time say, impossible. Pastor, they say all the time, impossible. 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 But I'm here to tell you that the forgiveness of God and the reasoning of God wants to take you to a level to where whatever you've done, no matter how dyed it is in your life, no matter what you've seen that is seared in your memory and your conscience, no matter what you've done that has made you guilt-ridden on the inside to where you don't like looking in the mirror and you thought about taking your own life and you think booze is the answer to just to forget. There's something better to forget than alcohol and any type of drugs or killing yourself. It is the forgiveness of God. And I'm begging you, let your first step be your last. You say, well, I don't think people are going to let me live it down. That's not true. People who love God will help the process. But you've got to believe this. God's left the 99, and he's chasing you. He says, can we just talk about it? Can we just talk about the solution? And the solution is this. I can make your sins as white as snow. Because once it's dipped in God's forgiveness, it comes out clean. I knew I was coming here to preach, and last year about this time, I was up in Washington preaching at the tournament up there. And then I'm down here, and so I knew that when Brother Skinny Vot. Gotta hate people like that. Then I started praying, what sermon? What sermon would be very appropriate for this time? The problem with preaching at some place a lot of times is that you kind of run out of material. Not as long as you have the book, though. And I'm asking you tonight, do you truly think that what has been done cannot be forgiven? That's not true. But the verse doesn't stop there. Are you ready? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as... I have 7 minutes, you've been a great crowd. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as what? Oh, hold it now. He no longer is talking about a color. He now is talking about a texture. The other day, sitting at the house, I am doing what every good Baptist preacher does when it's the NFC championship game. And may I just publicly say, thank you, NFL, for playing them on Saturday, so I can catch the entire game and not be a heathen. So I'm sitting there, so I'm into this thing. I'm into this because, you know, our beloved Cowboys are trying to make their way. So it was one of these playoff games coming down. Miss Kelly comes in and says, hey, babe, can I get a cup of coffee? And she said, yeah. She hands me the coffee. This is no joke. I take a drink and I go to set it on the table. No, it went shoo. And there was a brown stain in this carpet. So like every good husband does, hey, you made a mess. It's your fault. It's on. So we tried for a couple of days to get that thing up. We tried, and this coffee, this whatever this was in this coffee, I think it was California coffee, whatever was in this coffee, took the texture of the carpet and changed it to where you could rub your hand across and everything smooth right here. Watch this, and then you got to that section and the texture was not as smooth as this. Teenager, does it sound like your life? You're good kids, but is there that area that when you get to, no, I've blown it too many times, that texture will never, I'll never get back to the original me. You may not get back to the original what you had, but everybody can get back to the original relationship they had. You see, anytime you sin, there's consequence. But that does not mean that the texture of your life has got to stay rough. Come now and let us reason together. And all God's looking for tonight is for you to say, I've chased you and chased you. Make your home in the stars, I'm there. Find a tree and crawl up it, I'm there. Go to the darkest day, I'm there. And I'm going to chase you until you just sit down and let's talk about it. This one move. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen. Can I take all three lost things in Luke 15 and tie them together right now? You chase them until in their memory they go, man, how many hired servants does my father have? I'm going home. If you read that story about the prodigal, he went home and the father never said one thing to him. He just kissed him and said, go get the fatted calf and go get the ring. Because anytime God chases you and you decide to go home, what was the second thing that was lost in Luke 15? It was the coin. Listen to this. You get your value back. And all of a sudden, you're valuable again. Teenagers, there's no way I could live being a teenager in 2019. I think every one of us adults would agree. If we were hellions to some degree with no technology, we would be part of the Hell's Angel group. No, y'all, listen to this. I would be part of the Hell's Angels group. I would have an ugly motorcycle and an ugly woman. I would be part of the Hell's Angels group. I did not mean that. That bad Bob. But can I ask you something right now? How long? How long? How long? Come now and let us reason together. Amen. He's the good shepherd. He leaves the 90 and 90 and comes after you. He's the patient father. He'll chase you till you sit down and let's talk about it. And then he'll give you back your value. Heads bowed, eyes.